Welcome back to the Best of Drive with Joel and Fletch. Well, we have a special episode of Brucen because over the weekend it was just off its head. Then we also catch up with the general, as we always do, and we have another nomination. This team's getting huge. It is the training, the house down. Here we come, revving our engines under the sun. You're cruising
for Brucen. It's just out of control.
It's out this week.
Yeah.
Out of control. I didn't think we'd get any. Yeah, pull it in a bit.
I had to bring it in to Monday because it was so much bruising.
When old Moonhead unfortunately left this earth, I thought that was going to be bad.
Yeah.
But now this week has just been...
Sporting achievements.
Oh, gosh. I'm going to kick us off.
Righto, what do you got?
With our good mate, Fitzy.
Oh.
From Fitzy and Whipper fame.
We're in a podcast shootout with him at the moment.
Oh, good. We're going to get it on. Fitzy, 18. What an exciting night for all young footballers around Australia.
Yeah. It is... That's okay.
Yeah, okay. When all you want to do is get out there and kick the footy, you learn very early that photographers ask you to climb an effing tree in your cut-off corduroy pants and knocking off a shirt at Mitsubishi. A journalist will then piss themselves laughing as they go to print. So what he's done...
What's he done?
Well, he went pretty close, high up in his draft, so he's put a photo of himself in a tree on the night of young footballers getting around Australia for the draft. So...
So he's made the draft.
He's made the draft, just to let everyone know. And he threw off, which I do like.
Yeah.
I don't mind the throw off with the jeans and the rank shirt.
Yeah, that is trying but to he's dilute
got the,
a Brucen.
Yeah, but he's Bruce, got the full article. Like, seriously.
Oh, it's not even just the picture.
It's not just the picture. It's a full article.
Does he include the headline?
Of course he does. Fitzy climbing the top of the AFL tree.
No.
Oh, Fitzy, listen, we love your brother, but you're guilty. Bruce.
Anything else you get?
I've got 100 more.
Yeah.
Another bloke.
Radio. Okay.
Our man. Oh, yeah. He doesn't do the Lego. It's the other fella. Andy Lee.
Yes.
Super proud of this fellow today.
Oh,
the 47th men test captain of Australia. There is no better man for the job. Great.
Just a picture of Paddy?
Wrong.
No. Oh, no.
Picture of Paddy and Andy Lee.
Yeah, guilty.
Looking quite stylish.
Geez, the radio types are having a shocking week, aren't they?
What have we done?
Well, surely someone's with George, aren't they?
Oh, this is George-a-thon.
Yeah.
Okay, this is ferocious. So we've got Mark Burris, champion of the world, but it doesn't get better. Manny Pacquiao.
Oh.
Manny Pacquiao has come over the top of everyone and just give it to him, saying, congratulations to my friend George Kambosos on an epic win. You helped me in so many of my past fights.
Beautiful.
I hope
our
hundreds of rounds of sparring helped you in some way tonight.
Beautiful.
See you later. George.
Oh, beautiful work. Beautiful work. I'll break it back with more.
It's time for the Doyen of Decisions, Luke the General Patton.
Oh, the general, after a big weekend, this time last week, we were discussing bowls, we were discussing keys. It was all happening for the general, wasn't it? How are you, mate?
Good day, Sugar. Fletcher, how's it going?
G'day, Luke. What's happened? What's happened on the weekend? Anything interesting?
You know what? I was only saying the other day, like, when you get older and you have a house, you feel like you just got to do stuff around your house all weekend, and before you know it, the weekend's gone, and you haven't really done anything. I don't know, do you blokes, are you into your lawns? Again, when you get older, it's like this thing, isn't it? It's like this big challenge and you feel a bit of pressure because if your mate's got a good lawn, you're kind of like, well, I should be doing better. And my missus had the audacity the other day to say that she thought our lawn was pretty ordinary.
Oh, I tell you what, have you put any fertiliser on it, General?
Well, I kind of have. I put some weed and feed stuff on it, but it's... I just feel like the weeds have just pushed. They've pushed through it. They're fine.
I tell you what, but you can't weed and feed close to the rain because it just washes it all out. Maybe you did that.
Oh, well, yeah, I tried to time it, but I don't know. I'm a bit frustrated at the moment with my lawn, but anyway.
Have you got a lot of leaves around? Like, is there trees that just drop their leaves and stuff?
Yeah, not so much on my lawn, Fletch. That's more the pool. That's another thing that takes up a bit of time. Which I'd never had a pool before. I didn't realise how much time goes into that. So, yeah, that's my weekend, the lawn and the pool.
Oh, important thing at this time of year, and you can buy them from Bunnings, the pumps that pump the water out. Because a lot of people's pools Way too full.
Yeah, because of the rain.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that's not good.
That is not good. But soon, yeah, backwash.
Yeah.
And just throw, you can never have too much chlorine.
That's right.
I
agree with that. As soon as you see a bit of greenery, because a lot of people are seeing it now, chlorine, boom.
And if it stings your eyes, just wear goggles, kids.
Yeah, I agree with that. General, as we look ahead to 2022, right, it's going to be a fierce race between a couple of your clubs, the Dragons and the Bulldogs. Who do you see to have a better 2022 at this particular juncture?
It's a great question, because I guess a lot of people looking at it at face value see the Bulldogs signing so many players that they're just going to have a great season. And I guess the Dragons, they've signed some people, but it's been a lot of forwards. So they're a bit of the unknown. A lot of young kids there as well. So they're a bit of the unknown. I don't know. I still think there's a lot of pressure on the Dogs to bring that team together. And I still have a few question marks on key positions for that squad. I'm not fully convinced on either of those two teams how they're sort of going to go. You know, it's a tricky one.
Are we still talking about that? Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
I want you to make a decision here.
This is
a decision, big decision. You've seen all over the news, Brandon Smith. He did a podcast for a brand that he's actually employed by. So he's a paid athlete.
He's getting paid in crypto.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, good on you.
Yeah, by said brand.
We'll get to that in a second with General. So if you're Melbourne Storm and you're bellyache, and are you fully across what he said, Brandon Smith?
Yes. Yeah, I am.
He goes back to Melbourne next week. The decision made by Melbourne and Melbourne coaching staff and the board of directors and all that jazz, what do you think they will do? Because it's obvious to me that he wants to play for the Chooks 2022.
Yeah.
He wants to get an early... He wants to get an early release.
His comments are... Like, I know, you know, there's been a bit of talk how disrespectful his comments are, that he wants... You can see himself, or he wants to win a premiership in the Roosters jersey. Like, that's going to make it... Imagine that convo when you're getting back down talking to Craig Bellamy. Like, that's going to be a... You would have the sweats, wouldn't you? Your hands would be... It'd be disgusting having that convo, but it seems, you know, more and more that's the way it goes these days, you know. So I guess from the Storm point of view, at least they've got a great player already in the hookers with Harry Grant. That probably softens the blow, but I know, you know, the Cheese plays a bit of lock as well, and, you know, they've lost Finucane there as well, so that would have a fair impact on their squad. So, I'm not sure. It's a difficult decision for the Storm. I think if there's any club that could probably make it work, if it was, you know, if he did stay and play for the season, it would be them. But it's looking more and more likely that he'll be in the, the tricolours next year, doesn't it?
It's the off-season and players are working hard to get ready for a big 2022. Here's a nomination for the Drive with Joel and Fletch training the house down team.
Ooh, okay. Now, is this a nomination? Now, Brian, you're part of the board when it comes to training the house down.
I am the board.
Training the house up. Yes, you are the board. Okay, let's have a listen to this. Wally Lewis, this is on Channel 9, reporting in Brisbane. This is on the 24th of November. Have a listen to this.
Adam Reynolds knew how big of a responsibility it is to captain the Broncos the first time he walked through Brisbane's trophy-filled offices at Red Hill. Reynolds made his first public outing in his new colours at an intimate sponsors event, and only Nine News was there.
He might be wearing a name tag, but Adam Reynolds needs no introduction. Not since Gordon Tallis's arrival at Red Hill has there been so much excitement about a Broncos recruit.
Everyone at the club's been supportive. They've been very friendly, and they've honestly made it so much easier for me and my family to obviously transition up here. It's a pretty big move, but they've certainly made it a lot easier.
Having guided the Bunnies to the grand final, Reynolds knows the key to captaincy: leading by example.
You got to make sure you're doing it yourself. You got to make sure you're doing the little things right, and that everyone's following you.
He doesn't start pre-season until mid-December, but who knows, an early arrival might just be on the cards.
It's pretty exciting when you see some of the boys in there working hard, and the talent they've got is unbelievable. I'm like a little kid. I still keep poking my head in there at times and wanting to be out there with the boys. It's hard to sort of sit at home and watch them do all the hard yards and just sit there and not do nothing.
Okay, thoughts. Is that qualify?
No, I don't think so.
No.
It's a puff piece.
Yeah.
But he hasn't admitted to anything.
Okay.
No. They haven't certainly said he's bigger, stronger. Mm. They're just talking about his reputation.
So when was he due back at training?
He was due back not for another month.
They said mid-December, didn't they?
Yeah.
Well, Michael Atkinson, blue tick, right? He has this to say, right? This is 2 days later. He said, surprise, and this is in bold italic letters. Surprise at Red Hill this morning. Adam Reynolds not due back from leave until December 17, has reported for training. That is the sign of a great recruit, captain material.
Train the house down.
Train the house down?
Put him on.
Put him on, you have to.
Yeah.
Was it legit though? Did he come back?
Well, blue tick. It's been reported by blue tick.
Doesn't matter, blue ticks.
Yeah, it does.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
Your fascination with Spotify numbers, yeah, subscriptions, and blue ticks. It's really starting to worry me. So you're saying that if you've got a blue tick, you wouldn't lie.
No, I don't have a blue tick, nor want a blue tick, or need a blue tick. But anyway, Michael Atkinson has a blue tick.
I know, but I'm not saying Acko is a is a fibber. But are you saying that if you've got a blue tick,
I don't know,
you're not a fibber?
Well, what, you're a real person, seemingly.
A lot of journos have the blue tick for verification.
Yeah.
Like you could spout stuff, but if you got the blue tick, Channel 9 behind you,
gotcha. Yeah,
it's legit. Yeah.
Anyway, so he's in.
He is in. He's our halfback.
Okay, he's in. Good to hear.
Thanks, Joel. If you see a player trading the house down, tag us at Joel Fletch SEN on Twitter or use the hashtag TTHD. That was training the house down. And as history says, it rarely ends well.
Welcome back to Drive with Joel and Fletch. Now, we decided to catch up with Chris O'Keefe to discuss this new Omricon. Goodness me, this just won't leave us. And then, very special friend of myself and Joel, Josh Stewart, because he is a member of the Themeless Tuesday, which is rugby league players that have gone into finance.
From Channel 9, he's a political reporter for Channel 9 News. Chris O'Keefe is on the line. Cocky, how are you, mate?
Yeah, good, fellas. How are you?
Well, I think we should start for the biggest news. And yourself, Yvonne, are on your way to being parents. Congratulations, mate.
Oh, thank you very much, Joel. We're thrilled. We honestly are. We're very thrilled at the opportunity to become parents and just hope we do a good job. And so far, so good. And, you know, everything that we hope for is coming to pass. And, you know, so far it looks pretty healthy and that's all we can ask, right?
Any cravings, Christopher? Is your lovely wife got any cravings yet?
Just naps. She's loving it. She's getting hit in between the eyes with a sledgehammer probably two or three times a day. So she's happy that it's the off season.
I might be pregnant. I've been having a lot of naps myself. What's making news with you, Chrissy?
Well, it's all this Omicron variant, isn't it? You know, like that's all anybody's talking about. And I think there's a fair bit of panic in the community about it. To be fair, we've all been vaccinated and we sort of got through Delta and we got through last year's lockdown and now it feels like we could be back at square one. But I can tell you, fellas, to be honest with you, I've spoken to a lot of epidemiologists and a lot of health ministers, both federally and in New South Wales too. And I don't think that there's any cause to panic. All of the information we're getting out of South Africa, where it seems they've got the most data about this new variant, is saying that it's mild. The symptoms are mild. It might be a touch more transmissible and the mutations, and it all sounds fairly scary. But if you were vaccinated, so far all of the cases that have been picked up in Australia at least, they haven't been all that ill. So they've either been asymptomatic or just had a runny nose and a bit of a scratchy throat. And what some of the epidemiologists are saying was it might actually be a good thing if we've got a really mild version of COVID-19, which would overtake the more severe versions of COVID-19, like your Deltas and the Wuhan version and all the rest of it. And in that case, if we can outcompete it, then we have a dominant strain that doesn't make us all that crook, which wouldn't be a bad thing.
So it's only very early days, but the epidemiologists, Chris, are they saying that the current vaccinations that we have, you know, the Pfizers, all those that we've been taking, Moderna, et cetera, are they likely to protect us against the Omicron strain?
Yes. So there's absolutely no evidence whatsoever to say that the Omicron strain is sort of resistant to vaccines or can subvert the vaccines in any way, which is really good news. And anyone who's coming into Australia right now, it's really important to note that everybody coming in is vaccinated, doubly vaccinated. And they've picked up a lady who came in from South Africa the other day. And now she came in on Thursday and she ended up going to Parramatta, Westfields and doing a whole bunch of shopping. So she's the only person who they believe was not in isolation at the time. And that is somewhat of a concern because she did end up on the Central Coast, etc. So if the thing is taking off and is super transmissible and all the rest of it, well, that is a concern because she wasn't in isolation.
What about the Perth test? Is that what's the situation over there? Because we know he doesn't, McGowan doesn't really like letting too many people into his state.
Can I ask you blokes?
Yeah.
How bad is Mark McGowan as a human being?
A grade. He's an A grade.
Registered. Seriously.
He is. What, do the Perth, but he's got. He must have a lot of support over there. Are all Western Australians? What's going on there?
I don't know what's going on there, mate. I don't know how on earth he could reward this bloke. I don't know how he looks at himself in the mirror every morning. It's like he takes glee in being cruel to his countrymen and women. It's just shocking. But I know a colleague of mine, she went into Howard Springs for 2 weeks, spent $5,000, and then did quarantine to try to get to Perth to go to a sister's wedding. And then an hour before she was about to get on the plane in Darwin to fly to Perth, he said home quarantine for 14 days, so she's missed the wedding. You know, it's... Anyway, so on the cricket, this is unbelievable. See, Mark McGowan's jumped up today, and because of this new variant, has said for the test in Perth, which is at the new Optus Stadium over there, all Ashes officials and players, so the English team, the Australian team, all the staff, as well as all the broadcasters that are coming from the East Coast, 14-day strict hotel quarantine.
Yeah, good luck, Mark.
Now, the test before that's 5 days before that.
Yeah.
So forget that. It's off in Perth.
It is Themeless Tuesday. I'm pleased to say this man's about to join us. It floats back to you. Soon we'll be making Themeless Tuesday, theme song Tuesday. The great Joshy Stewart from Jewel Finance. G'day.
Yes.
Hello, mate.
How are you, mate? That's Fletcher's song.
So
too good. In a taxi. He was trying to burn the bloke's ear off, I think it was.
We had a mad Monday. Was it about 97? 96?
97. I think it was 97 or 98. It was heavy.
It was heavy. So for some reason...
I think we both went out the same day or same game. Or so. We didn't play against each other. We had different times, but... It was the same day, I think.
It was the same weekend. Yeah, it was the Saturday and the Sunday. So we went out against Manly. It was 97, right. Josh. It was 97. Was we went out against Manly.
Oh, we went out against Newcastle.
There you go.
Yeah, that's right.
And then we could talk about the good times.
So it was you're both playing prelims.
Yes.
And so obviously Manly's knocked you out. Newcastle's knocked them out.
Yeah, and then we met up at the Moore Park View on Sunday morning, and it was just love boat, four paces. And mate,
love boat.
It was
down to Clovelly, was it after that?
I think it could have been, but it was funny. Neither of us had organised it, but we just got and started singing, and we just, you know, when you just know the song, like word for word, it was brilliant. Anyway,
now for the listeners who don't know, right? So you started your career as Josh Stewart, right? The son of John Stewart.
Yep.
Then that morphed into the brother-in-law of Jason Deith, which morphed into the brother-in-law of Ivan Cleary. You're now known today as the uncle of Nathan Cleary. Plenty of pedigree in the family.
That's all I'm known as. He's Nathan's uncle. I'm not too sure if I'm happy with that or disappointed, but it is what it is.
He's had a fair year, hasn't he? Oh. A fair couple of years, Josh.
Wow, what a player.
Yeah.
Was he always a gun coming through, Josh? Like when he was like, say, a 12-year-old, was he always destined to be a superstar?
So you wouldn't believe it. When he was 12, he was in New Zealand. I didn't see much of him because Ivan was over there playing and then later coaching. But he was played soccer as a kid. He broke his leg. I'm not too sure he got hit by a car or what it was, but he broke his leg and then he was out for a period of time and he ended up with a funny gait in regards to running. That's a horse term, isn't it? Gait. So he ended up with a bit of a funny gait, but now it doesn't affect him at all. But yeah, so he was a late starter with rugby league. I think he started in 13s and 14s in New Zealand. And over there, they do a weight for age, I believe, over there. Mm. But it was pretty tough comp on him, and he learned to toughen up pretty quick, I think.
Josh, I'm just looking at the way you played rugby league. Did you play soccer at all?
please. I'm just like a little block of cheese running around.
Josh, I want to get back to you after football. So how did you get involved in the mortgage broking game?
So I was looking at, well, I originally started doing debt recovery, which sort of suited me down the ground. But after feed people for money all the time, and end up, you know, having four kids and lots of stuff, I went, I better get away from this stuff. I don't want to get phone calls and people turning up in my house. Anyway, I got into mortgage breaking, boy. I was out at the races working out there, and I was asking people about franchises, Michelle's Patisseries, this, everything else. I wanted to work for myself. And then Tony Mastroff, who was doing the sponsorship at Manly, Tony's the Greyhounds, New South Wales boss. He bumped into me, and he actually worked with the boys at Deb Financial Group, which it was known as before. And I think Joel Cain used to work in the industry too.
He was
a BDM for one of the lenders or...
Yeah, St. George Bank. Vow Financial,
He said, mate, go and see the blokes down there at Dib, which is Ray Dib and Dave Francis and Gary Gant. And one thing led to another. And they said, mate, we'll put you on a bit of a retainer and you can learn from us and go from there. And that's 16 years ago.
Welcome back to the Best of Drive with Joel and Fletch. Sparty, his Wednesday slot. Well, he's not on the radio. He's in studio. So that's going to be exciting. We catch up with Dan Christian. He's out on the golf course. And we have another episode of Who's Brucin?
Where you keep your Rolling Stones records? Any friend of Sasha Distan? It's time for In What World with the Doyen of Talkback, Sparty. But where do
you go to? Oh, great work, Gibbo. Reflexes, bang. You should be in the first. He nearly missed the kick there, and then all of a sudden, bang, he found the button, and we didn't miss a beat.
You'd think after a year, Joel, I probably would have learned a thing or two, but still trying.
Mate, no one noticed a thing. That quick bang, a bit of panic came out, and whooshka. In the meantime, Brian.
Yes.
At your 12 o'clock.
Is Sparty.
Yeah.
Looking quite, it's got his work shirt on.
Yeah.
Looking, what brings you to inside the studios?
Well, when I was speaking to Brooksy about today's content, we're going to touch on etiquette at Christmas parties.
Mm.
And that involved me coming and having a bit of a chat to HDV up on level 7.
Oh.
So HDV said to me, look, you're here.
Yeah.
Just head downstairs and whack on the headphones.
How is he? What sort of mood was he in HDV?
Not happy. No. He's nervous this time of year, given what happened, you know, in his previous incarnation when he used to work over at another radio station.
Mm.
Things went from, you know... Things went to funky town, as we like to say.
Can you reiterate for our loyal listeners who aren't familiar with the abbreviation, which is HDV?
Oh, so Horatio de Villiers.
Yes.
He was 2IC at the previous place, but he's making his way through the grades, and he's been put in charge of HR here.
Yes.
Is he South African?
No, Venezuelan.
Venezuelan.
Yeah. So, as I said, I spoke to Horatio, he needs to tick a few boxes for the Christmas party season coming up. Little known fact, he's got to get accredited every year.
Yes.
And given previous incidents that's happened with him, he's asked me to put a few role plays to you boys.
Oh, okay.
So we're at the Christmas party. Where does it at? Up on the roof, maybe? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. Okay. So I'll start with you first, Brian. I have one for you.
Mm.
So Christmas party's in full blown.
Yep.
You're on the dance floor. You've just done the Nutbush.
Yep.
And they're about to lead into the Macarena.
Oh, yes. Right, so '90s, love it.
Yeah, you've had about 12 West Coast coolers.
Yep.
Right, and then Beryl from Promotions says to you.
We've had a history, so I know where you're going with this.
Right. Put the phone down, Brian.
So you know she says, I loved your career in the NRL and can only compare you to Paul Hoff. In fact, I have a career highlights on a DVD at home of yours.
Mm.
Would you like to come back to my parents' basement
dear.
And we can watch them over an international roast or a Macona?
Mm. That night?
Oh, it's then. You're in it.
Then?
You're in the mode.
Yeah, sorry, Beryl. Can't do it.
See, Horatio would like that.
Yeah. I can't do it yet. I have to wait until the party's closed.
Okay, so,
and
so it's,
then I got nothing
it's
else
10
to
minutes
do.
Till the joint closes down.
Yeah.
Can't do it.
Okay.
Can't do it, Barry.
Well done. I reckon Horatio would like that.
Yeah.
But I will take your number and your Snapchat. I'll take your Snapchat dad deets.
Yeah.
Beryl?
Pretty sure you're listening to Horatio. Did you get that?
Yeah. I might send her a photo later on.
Okay. So then, Joel.
Oh, dear.
Kevin from logistics. Oh, he's a bloody scallywag. Yeah. He's always...
Hard to shake Kev.
He's a madman.
Yeah. I'm going to say it. He's a real prick.
Yeah.
I'm saying it.
Potholes.
Wow, what happened?
Potholes are cool, Kev.
When I wanted to get that delivery up here, he said, no, you got to sign in, go to the loading dock.
Did you have to take your temperature like I did?
No, come in. Kev, you prick.
So old potholes, Kev. Yeah,
sorry for not putting it in my ear, Brooksy. No. Easy mistake to make. So, hi, Joel. Can you come into the photocopy room and copy your buttocks? We already have Jared and Jimmy's and Fletcher's. And we want to get the quaddie.
Yeah.
We can then on send them to the whole office. Yeah. It'll be a bloody hoot.
Yeah.
What would you say?
Oh, fire it up. I'll see you in five. Is it Horatio wants to hear that?
I don't think it's what he wants to hear.
Yeah. Well, you know what I might do? Because quaddies, you're generally losing the last leg.
Right.
So maybe just put one shot. Yeah. Yes, exactly right.
Right. So... that's a yes then?
Yeah, that's a yes.
All right, now to flip it around, Fletch, if it was you.
Yes.
Yeah, all right.
Yes. I'm in. What about your Christmas party, Sparty? Are you having one? That rhymed.
Yeah, it does too.
When's your party kicking off?
I'll tell you what, there's the best cafe in the world in Cafe Jolly in Norton Street, Leichhardt.
Mm-hmm.
And I just take them up there and have a feed. And then across the road, I can't remember, there's a pub across the road. So it's down the non-Parramatta end.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and there's that pub, the beautiful old heritage pub on the corner.
Is there rules? Don't play up? Like,
yeah, don't bring your spoke shave.
Yeah, which is what?
A spoke shave. That's what you use to shape things. It's a blade.
A lathe.
No, it's a hand tool. It's a very old-fashioned hand tool.
Yeah. Mm.
And you're just shaping round things and doing stuff.
Don't bring that.
My boys are just very, they're sensible types.
He's looking for the three-peat. His name is Dan Christian, and I'm pleased to say he's on the line. G'day, Dan.
Hello, gents. How are you?
Going good, Dan. Now, Dan, before you get started, my mother is born in Narendra, and
yeah, right.
I understand that you grew up there too.
Yep, I did. I spent the first 13 years of my life there, and all my dad still lives there, and all his side of the family. So I go back fairly often.
Yeah, right. And then you end up at St. Greg's at Campbelltown.
Yep.
Now, that's a rugby league. I mean, it's known for its rugby league.
It is.
Did you get,
yep.
Would you put on scholarship or you just went there? What was the go there?
No, just went there. And played. I used to love the rugby league. I loved it more than I loved cricket, but I was just better at cricket. Got knocked out cold in the Nutri-Grain Cup Grand Final in the year 2000. Got my head in the wrong spot trying to put a shot on Anthony Tupou.
Speaking about mucking up, Dan, it's just popped in my mind, but there was a certain crossword where they mucked something up involving you. Do you remember that?
Yeah, that was it was about a week after the last game of cricket I played for Australia, and they were calling me former. So they'd obviously announced my retirement for me. So.
Mate, how's things looking ahead of this Big Bash season? You're looking for the three-peat. It's been a phenomenal period for the Magenta, which is the Sixers. How's things looking for the 2021-22 season?
Looking really good. We've been able to not only keep the same squad together, we've added a couple as well. So Tom Curran, who... has played with the Sixers a fair bit, but didn't play last season. He's back this year, and then we've added in Chris Jordan as well. So on top of the exact same squad that we had last year. So it's pretty exciting. Pretty exciting for us. I know a lot of the boys have been playing pretty well in the one days and the 4 days in the last month or so. So everyone's around to go.
They've settled on Carey as the wicketkeeper for the first test. Were you surprised by that? Did you think they may have gone with Inglis?
Yeah, there's always a chance, I guess, that you're going to go for the younger guy, but I think Alex Carey deserves it. He's spent a long time in that one-day team and been really successful in that one-day team. And I think it's only fair that he's next cab off the rank and gets first opportunity in that spot. He's been a really good player in that one-day team for a while, but his four-day stuff for South Australia's been good as well. So, I think he really deserves it.
This is also predictable. Brian, when he gets a cricketer on, he'll ask him what's their golf handicap, and then he'll segue into a second question. What is your handicap, Dan?
My handicap's one at the moment.
Okay, you're the best.
Well, then here's the obvious question
coming
right now.
You're the best we've had. So we had Maxie on. Who else do we have on? Oh, Samsy. We had Dan Sams on.
Yep.
So they both gave me tips. Now, I'm playing off 18 down at Woollahra, down at Royal Woollahra.
Right.
Just give me one tip I should be doing. Maxie said when you putt off your left foot, because I'm right-handed, put all your weight on your left foot. That's changed a lot. Samsy said try and hit it as hard as you can to get it, to get it down there.
If you're going to make an error, make it down
there.
Yeah,
I know, but that didn't work.
No.
Dan, what have you got for me?
A tip for, I would say, spend as much time as you can practicing your chipping and your putting. I know that's not an actual technical tip, but no matter what your technique's like, if you just practice it enough, then you're going to get used to it. You're going to get used to hitting the middle of the club. So
soft hands.
That's the best bit of advice I could probably give you. I'm actually walking up the seventh.
Oh, you're playing?
Oh, yes.
That's so good. And are you playing, do you play for money every time?
We play, Moses and Reece and I play for a shirt in the clubhouse, so then you're in the pro shop. So
are you with, are you with Moses now?
I'm playing with Jordan Silk and Jackson Bird at the moment.
Okay, throw one, when you have your next shot, just throw one of the boys on and they can commentate you in the... In the golfer's voice, Christian, who's 20 metres out. Okay, so
no carts, Dan. You're just taking it on.
These boys are in a cart. I'm walking today.
Oh, you get a bit older, you get a bit podgy.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounded good.
Oh, yeah.
It sounded good. He's just pulled it a little bit left. I'll put him on. Jackson Bird.
Oh, Birdie.
Here we are live on the 7th. Bonnie Doon and Jackson Bird is just...
JB, you're here with Joel and Fletch. Can I just ask you this? What are you playing off? Because you're a bowler. I'd imagine you weren't very good.
No, I'm a pretty poor 18.
Oh, we should be playing for money.
Yeah.
We should be playing for
money. So,
Birdie... No.
Birdie, how far from hitting is Dan? Is he close to addressing the ball?
No, he hasn't. He hasn't taken a shot this hole. So yeah, no, he's skipping this one. You got him in the last one. He hit one out of the. He was on the phone before in the bunker, and he hit one straight into the lip, and then it hit him in the back. So. I think he here we come, revving our engines under the sun. You're cruising
for a bruising. Yes, I should also mention, too, the caller of the day. So we've got the caller of the day coming up for the green tracksuit, thanks to KFC Supercoach BBL. So if you want to dive in, have a last throw at the stumps, no pun, feel free to do so on the Ryco Fielders call line, 1300 01 1170. Right, O'Brien, who's been out there cruising for a Brucen? We can't go a week without somebody Brucen their little Bruces off.
I'm going to a journo. So I'm treading warily here.
Ooh, power of the pen.
Power of the pen. I've gone with the mole.
The mole?
Tony Adams.
Mm.
What? What are you laughing at?
What are you laughing at?
So, the mole has put a picture on of Chica Ferguson. Must be after the 89 grand final.
Mm.
Chica is with his four kids. Getting a photo, and the mole says, spot Moley lurking on this famous day in league history.
Yeah.
And the mole is sitting behind Chica.
Just to the other side of that, right? And he is a terrific Brucer, the mole. Glenn Lazarus in the 10 jumper.
Yeah.
Who's he being interviewed by?
Let's have a look.
You also Sir Zoom a lot.
I am a Zoomer. Hang on.
Does it look like PVL?
Wouldn't be PVL.
I don't know if it is. It looks like him, though, doesn't
Zoomer.
It?
Zoomer. Wow.
Is it PVL? That's what we need to know. Who else has been out there brucing?
I'm going to have to give a bruce to Jackson Hastings.
Oh, yes.
So Jacko is back, obviously, after being in England, and he just posted this. It was random, and I didn't mind it. It was good to know, but you're brucing. He said, Man of Steel.
Mm.
19, still pinching myself.
Yeah.
Salford, 31.
Mm.
There's a photo of him holding his Man of Steel.
So what's the context of that?
Well, it was only done last week. I don't know.
Mm.
He's just throwing it out there.
The Man of Steel trophy's a ripper, though, isn't it? It looks like the Lombardi trophy, doesn't it?
It does.
Mm.
Old Vincent.
Yeah. Anyone else been out there brucing around?
Oh, there's plenty.
Yeah.
We're going to hit Chris Smith with one. Chrissy Smith from 2GB. Lovely bloke.
I've got the like on there, too. You note that?
Oh, I did notice it. So what Smithy's done, it's not a bruise.
I was brucing the bruise.
21 years ago today, I began working at 2GB. What a star-struck news director I was. Became program director very quickly, and then PD and on air at noon. Still there on weekends now and loving it. It's been an enormous slab of my life. Tough, but so rewarding. Cheers, red wine emoji.
Yeah. Champion bloke, Smithy, but that's champion brucing.
That is.
Absolute brucing. 1300 01 1170.
Have you got any boys?
Oh, Dazz of the Dragon says Sergeant Peppers was the numero uno for the Beatles.
I think Dazz just throws them out. Dazz, you just tossing them out or you Google it? Don't believe Google. Don't believe the hype.
Mm-mm. I saw one this week. It was David Warner 31 on Instagram. And I wanted to throw this one out to you guys. So he's posted on Instagram a photo of day 5 match drawn New Zealand India. How good is Test cricket? 5 days, tough cricket played by both teams and it ends in a draw. That's why we love it. Can't wait for the second test in Mumbai. Hashtag India, hashtag New Zealand. I can't wait for the Ashes.
Oh, I snuck it in
So
there.
Has he Bruced off a other result to promote his Ashes?
I don't know if it is. I don't think it is. But is there a photo of him in it?
No.
No.
But he's done it to get likes. Like,
I don't think he's got to get likes. He doesn't need
what
likes.
What do you reckon? No Bruce?
I don't think it's Bruce because I don't think he's made it about him. He celebrated others. But
that last line, I thought, might have just sealed the deal.
Can't wait for the Ashes.
Yeah, he could have just left it at India and New Zealand, but he's thrown the Ashes in there, which
yep. Yeah.
He's saying that...
Is it sponsored? Could be from Channel 7 or Fox.
Mm.
And Dirk Nannis liked it.
Welcome back to Drive with Joel and Fletch. Well, it's Thursday. It's my last day. So that means we have the NRL roast guru, Dean Messiter, and very special guest, Captain Lee from Below Deck. Welcome, Captain Lee. Take a listen.
But on the line right now is Dino from NRL Roast. How are you, mate?
Good, lads. Finally got rid of Joel. I see. Great. Best decision you've made all year, I think.
Yes. Thank you very much, Dean. Now, what's been making news? I did see this. You threw out a question. Who was the most underrated signing heading into 2022? What did the listeners say, or the viewers?
Yeah, look, there's been a fair few talk, obviously, around like Adam Reynolds and some of the big-name players going to different clubs. But we wanted to find out who we thought was flying under the radar a little bit. And a lot of the fans sort of threw out a few names. Cam McInnes at the Sharks.
Yep.
Like Dale Finucane and Nicho Hynes going there. They've obviously taken a bit of the headline, but he's sort of flown under the radar there. Nick Meadie down at the Storm, depending on how much sort of time he gets on the field, but Bellamy's probably going to get the best out of him. And Jamal Fogarty at the Raiders. I think, you know, under Ricky Stewart, he's probably going to sort of get the best out of him as well. And Jackson Hastings and Oliver Gildard at the Tigers were a few names thrown around as well. So, yeah, we just sort of thought, you know, who are some of the names that are flying under the radar, some of the signings.
What was the take from your point of view about what went down this week?
I think from the fans, a lot of people were, you know, if he was playing for their side, they'd be a little bit angry at that one little sentence that he said. But everyone was in agreement that if you watch it in context, it wasn't as bad as what the media sort of played out to be. You know, there's still people talking about it today, which I think is a little bit ridiculous. He's already come out and apologised and said he, you know, if he had his time back, he'd make a change. But look, it's he said it, and I think the fans are, you know, a little bit 50-50 about it all. But overall, if they watch it all in context, I don't think they'd be too upset by it.
Now, Dino, off-season or pre-season usually equates with players running around with their shirts off, and I'm leading into the hottest man of the year competition. KP is the reigning champion. I want to know, just going by, because I'm a fan of his, Ryan Madison, where did he finish last year in the top?
You put me on the spot there.
I can't remember. He wasn't top 10, was he?
No, he wasn't top 10, but I would say he'd have to be in the top 50. He'd have to be one of the top ones in at the Eels. But yeah, I would have to say top 50. And if you go by his off-season Instagram account, I'm sure he'll climb even higher.
He's number 10 with a bullet. Hang on, Brooksy's shaking his head.
No?
Why? Too much?
He's not hot. He's just...
He's hot.
Got big pythons.
No. He's hot. He's got baby blue eyes.
Warwick Farms.
Big Monty.
It's just the farms. Everyone's distracted by the farms. We've got to look in the face, the eyes.
Yeah, look in my eyes. Look in my eyes.
Reece Walsh.
Yeah. Reece Walsh is up there. Now, I'm going to make a prediction. I'm going to say he's the most improved. Thoughts?
Right. I'll find out exactly what he finished last year and we'll see if he can make the top 10. But yeah, Reece Walsh, he wasn't in it last year. He will be the bolter. If he doesn't make top 10, I might have to shut it down.
Can you throw coaches in? I think I asked you this early on in the year. Can you throw coaches in? Because T-Baz, wow.
He's looking... It's Barrett and then Daylight second, I think.
Matty Daylight. No, I'll tell you who's looking pretty fit. Fitzy.
Oh, yeah. The
the bald head does it for you, does he?
No, he doesn't do it for me, but I'm just saying he should be included.
Yep.
He's a fit hombre. He could do triathlons. That guy. I'm just having a look at Ryan Madison's Instagram, and there's not a lot of coverage of the upper body region on many of these photos.
I think that's he wasn't doing quite as much as this last year, so I think that's going to push him up. Ladies and gentlemen, Captain Lee, all the way from Florida. Captain Lee, come in, my friend.
How are you, Fletch?
I'm going good. So, are you? Where are you exactly at the moment? Are you on a vessel? Or are you at home?
No, I am in my home in Fort Lauderdale.
Right.
Yeah,
okay.
We just got through the Thanksgiving Day holidays, and they were great.
Yeah.
Long weekend, all that kind of stuff, and now just getting back into it.
You are now a global superstar.
How did
it come about, Captain Lee, that, first of all, the below deck premise? Where did it all start? Like, did you have to audition, or were you asked to go on?
I was captain on a 50-meter Benetti, 165 feet, and my boss calls me up. We're doing a boat show in Miami, a boat show in Fort Lauderdale, and he says he had two boats at the time, 165-footer and 120-footer. And he said, they want to use our boat. It's a two-month charter, and you don't even have to do anything. He said, all you have to do is deliver the boat to St. Martin. They've got their own captain. They've got their own crew. It's a TV show. They pay for a house on the beach. You're all set up. They pay you. I pay you. You show up once every 3 or 4 days, check on the boat, make sure they're not destroying it, report back to me, and we'll get through the next 2 months. I go, great. I am solid with that. Double pay, no work. I love it.
Yeah.
The wife down, hang out in St. Martin. I mean, life's pretty good at that point.
Yeah.
And then we found out that their captain that they had hired, who was a recent graduate of Maritime College, well, he had the paperwork. He didn't have the experience. Had never dealt with charter crew, had never dealt with charter guests, and had never handled a 170-foot boat. His experience was confined to like 60, 65, 70-foot boats. So my boss said, okay, I'm out of here. We're not doing it. And the network says, no, wait a minute. We can work something out. And so what they work out was me stepping into the role. So I never auditioned. I didn't want it until I looked into the eyes of my boss, and he said, Lee, you're fine with being on TV, aren't you? I got a pretty good gig going at that time.
Yeah.
Guests, crew screw-ups.
Yeah. Crew romance. That's all. I always like the crew romances. Have you ever seen a romance blossom into a marriage? Has it ever kicked on? Because I often see them that they don't keep in contact when the boys and girls hook up.
Not once.
Right. Okay.
It's like, okay, let's call it what it is.
Yeah.
You're hooking up. That's it. We're trying to make it into something it's not. Spare me the tears. Spare me the drama. Spare me the rest of the crap that goes with it, because it's non-existent. You guys are never going to see each other. And if you do, it'll be at a cocktail party. You go like, oh, yeah. How you doing?
Yeah, right. Okay. After every charter, this is another favorite of mine, when they get to go out to dinner, all the crew get to go out to dinner. Mm-hmm. Why don't you go out with them? Put them in their place.
I shouldn't have to. Don't embarrass yourself and don't embarrass the boat. And we know those rules have been violated more frequently than they should have been.
Mm.
That being said, you do have to grant them a certain amount of leeway, because when you finish work at the studio, you go home.
Yep.
You don't have the studio tech. You don't have anybody there. When these guys get out of work, these kids get out of work, they're still with the people that they work with.
Yeah.
They're not going anywhere. And even when they go to their rooms, they're still with somebody that they work with. It's there 24/7. And it does create a lot of strain and a lot of stress. And it takes a special individual to deal with it. Not everybody's cut out for yachting. You sacrifice a lot. You also gain a lot. But you have to be willing to make those sacrifices. You got to be willing to give up the holidays. You got to be willing to give up, you know, time with your family on your birthday and that sort of thing.